All right. Been talking about being stuck. Want to see if you can fully appreciate the situation. Maybe you've had a day like this, or a week, or a month, or something. We've been in Deuteronomy. We're gonna be there in a minute, but I wanna go to Numbers chapter 11 just real quick, and I'll just read this to you. I wanna just kind of cruise through this grocery list of kind of Moses' day. Maybe you've had a day like this. Maybe you've had a period of time, and you can relate to this. The people had just come out of Egypt. They've been set free. They've been captive there. They've been slaves there for 400 years, and God set them free. I mean, everybody should just clap and say, amen, that's good. I don't care what happens now. I mean, we're good, right? I've been captive. I've been held in chains. I've been whipped. I've been a slave for 400 years, me and my people, and we are now free, and I'll stay at Motel 6. I don't really care. We're happy to be free. That's not what happened. They were free for about a year, and this began to happen, Numbers chapter 11. And the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. I don't know what misfortunes they had. It doesn't say. It's just daily kind of general misfortunes. They've been traveling. They came down to Mount Sinai. They received the Ten Commandments. God has given them water and food and provided for them and protection for them. And they've been free for about a year. But good things wear off, don't they? I mean, good times wear off. And so they began to complain, and the Lord heard them complaining about their just general, basic, daily misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. That's usually where the complaining and the fussing happens. It doesn't happen here in front of me or at the board. It happens out there on the outskirts, on the distant phone lines, and the Lord hears, and His anger burned out there. Says not long after that, there was some rabble that was traveling with them. We talked last week, they weren't in isolation. There were other people and other nations and groups that came and traveled with them and hung out with them. There was protection in crowds. And so there was this rabble among them. And they had a strong craving, and the people of Israel, they began to weep again and saying, oh, I wish we had some meat to eat. Listen to this. Remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost us nothing. I mean, now think about that. Okay, it cost you nothing to eat fish in Egypt, except that you were a slave in Egypt with a whip on your back in Egypt. And how sometimes our minds go back to the smallest things of the good old days, even if you had a whip on your back. I mean, but the fish were free, and we ate cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic, but now our strength is dried up, and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at. There's nothing here but this manna miracle that God forms every morning with the dew that lands on the grass, and we get up and there's the dew, and then there's this miracle thing, these little seed-like things there that God lays out for us, and we gather them up and eat this stuff. And He's provided. It's a miracle. I don't know where it comes from. We've never seen it before. But man, I wish we had some of that free fish back in Egypt with the slave masters whipping us. It's strange what our minds do sometimes when we look back, and even the worst of times back then can appear to look good to us when our mind kind of gets a hold of it and does some crazy things. As Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. And Moses said to the Lord, Listen, this is what Moses says to the Lord. Why have you dealt ill with your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive these people? Did I give them birth that you would say to me, carry them in your bosom like a nursing mother carries her child to the land you swore to give to them? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they weep before me and they say, give us meat that we may eat. I'm not able to carry all this people alone. The burden's too heavy for me. If you're going to treat me like this, kill me now if I find favor in your sight that I don't see my own wretchedness. I mean, it's one thing after another, and it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. They're complaining about their misfortunes. They're complaining about their meat. And the answer is, well, select a committee. Go get 70 men and have them come to the tent where I appear, and I will come down and I will bless you, and then you can kind of delegate to these leaders all the complaining and the fussing and the whining. And so they do. And so the people come up with a list. Now, this is what they do. In their families, they write down a list of these men that they want to be their leaders. And so they're all on this list, and they're all supposed to go to the tent of meeting out there where God is. And they all go out to the tent of meeting except two guys. Two of the men on the list don't make it out to the tent. They're back in camp. Some reason, don't know why. So God comes down and he takes some of the Spirit, some of his Holy Spirit that has been on Moses, and he kind of spreads it out over these men. And these men get a little bit of the Holy Spirit, and they began to talk about God. They began to prophesy, is what it says. They begin to preach and teach and just glorify God, and they talk about God. Well, the two guys back in camp, they also got the Holy Spirit because their name was on that list. And he's good enough to be able to do that. So he gives the Spirit to those two guys back in camp, and they began to talk about God. They began to praise God. And lo and behold, this a young guy, it says. It says, two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad, the other Medad. The Spirit rested on them, and they were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, that's Joshua. That's Bible Joshua, right? Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, from his youth said, my Lord, Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them all. And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. So, you got this young guy kind of tattling. Hey, they're back there. They're doing it too. They don't want. Hey, Moses should be the only one doing this. And here comes this young guy. So, they're complaining about their misfortunes. They wish they had meat instead of this miracle man. Here comes a young guy complaining about the Spirit, the Spirit's on these guys. And they're actually preaching and praising God back in camp. What else? Doesn't it go this way sometimes? I mean, like, if you got people at work, if you got people in the neighborhood, if you got people down the street, if you've got some idiot friend of yours somewhere, and they're giving you a hard time, they're complaining, they're messing with you, that hurts. That's bad. That gets annoying. And like Moses, it builds up until you go, I can't take no more. And then what happens? Your family, your own family get after you, and you go, is there anyone on this planet that likes me? Is there anyone on this planet who's on my side? And that's exactly what happened in chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron, that's Moses' brother and sister, spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman who he had married. Oh, that woman he married, How can God use him? I can't believe he's the... Is he, what's so great about him? I think the Lord would use us too. Look at her. He began to complain about the woman he married. Miriam got her a wedding dress out of that deal. The Lord heard them complaining. Moses is fit to be... I mean, he's done. Moses is like, take me home, Lord. Kill me now. I can't take no more. And here comes Miriam and Aaron. How about that woman that you married? And God says, well, have them come out to the tent. I want to talk to you. Short story. They go out to the tent. The cloud comes down. The cloud goes up. Miriam's as white as snow with leprosy. And they send her outside the camp because leprosy is quarantined. And she goes and sits. And Aaron starts apologizing. Man, I'm so sorry. Man, I am so sorry. Man, I don't know what we're... Oh, man. Don't kill her. Don't let her bones rot away with leprosy. Oh, Moses, do something. We screwed up here. I'm so sorry. And God says, well, look, at least she should sit out there in shame for 7 days. I mean, and she sat out there for 7 days, and the camp stood still. The whole camp, 600,000 of them, sat still and waited for one woman sitting outside the camp for 7 days. They were stuck, and they're like, hey, why aren't we moving? Why aren't we going anywhere? What's happening? I thought we were going to the promised land. See her sitting out there? One complaining woman stuck the camp for 7 days. So Moses is done, man. Moses is drained. There's nothing left of Moses. They're complaining about their misfortune. They're complaining about what they eat. They're complaining about the woman he married. And it's just everything. It's just everything. It's just coming. And he says, Lord, I'm done. I'm done. The Lord says, now pick you some men. Get you some men of God that can see, that have eyes to see through all this junk, can see me and see the good in it. That's what they do. So in Deuteronomy chapter 1, which is where we're going to be today, very short verse, very short part. Deuteronomy chapter 1. It's Thanksgiving. We're moving into Thanksgiving. And I want to help us not to be like them. I don't want to be like them. I want to be like you. I want to be thankful for what I have. I want to be thankful. So Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. I just want to read 9, 10, 11, and 12. That time I said to you, I'm not able to bear you by myself. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are today as numerous as the stars of heaven. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, make you 1,000 times as many as you are, and bless you as he has promised you. How can I bear by myself the weight and burden of you and your strife? How can I bear the weight and burden of you and your striving, your constant complaining, your constant problems, your constant graveling, it's a burden on me. How am I supposed to do this by myself? And they chose wise and understanding men to lead them. The first thing I want us to just step back, because I know that if your life's at all like mine, this is how it happens. It comes in bunches. I mean, problems come in bunches. And I want us to just stop, just settle, just for a minute. And I want us to think about just God. Just God. If nothing else, if everything went bad, I want us just to trust God and be thankful for who God is. I want God to be enough. If my health goes bad, If my job goes bad, if my family starts complaining to me, if it just starts going, where can I find some bit of happiness, some bit of peace and joy and thankfulness? It's enough if we just think about God. If we just remember who He is. He's a good God. He sent His Son for me. He calls me His own child. I can trust God and He can be my satisfaction and my joy when everything is going wrong around me. When the complaining just keeps coming, God can be enough, and He should be enough. He's my joy, He's my satisfaction, He's my thankfulness. And sometimes, if you're like me, when it just starts coming in bunches, like Moses, I go, Lord, is this what I signed up for? Is this really the great and glorious Christian life? Because I've got multiple problems coming my way. You would think they, who could see God right there out their passenger window, cloud by day, fire by night, food, manna, water, protection, part the Red Sea, Sinai, there's God, I see God, no problem. You would think that would be enough. But the daily misfortunes, the daily issues piled up over that, and God wasn't enough. And that happens to me. That happens to me. I do the same stinking thing. And I kind of come back and go, no, wait a minute. My God, He satisfies me. He gives me joy. He's leading me through. We're going to come out the other side of this. My God is good. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you. Mark does not have it. I just want you to listen. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert. He'll not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. He doesn't fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And he is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Typically, that's what I do. When things are going bad, when things are coming my way, and I start to pout and my lip curls up and I'm complaining and grumbling outside on the outskirts of camp, I can't see God anymore. I'm trusting in man. I'm looking at everything about man. What's wrong? What's wrong with man? What's wrong with my country? What's wrong with politics? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? And it's all about man. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with my wife? What's wrong? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who knows the Lord will get me through this. And I like that verse. It says, that person who walks away, who leaves the Lord and just wants to focus on man and everything we are, you're like a shrub in the desert. That's my heart. It becomes like a shrub in the desert. It's just dry and crusty and gravelly. It just blows around. And I've got to come back and just focus on my Lord. I've got to come back and focus on the one who loves us so much. He sent His Son to die for me. He adopts me in. I'm His son now. And like Moses, when I screw up, I have somebody praying for me. Did you notice in the stories? They screwed up. They said, Moses, Moses, we're sorry. We screwed up. And he prayed to God, hey, forgive him. Forgive him. Don't kill him. Forgive him. And he did. I want you and I to remember, whenever we screw up, we are not perfect people. We become dry and crusty and gravelly. We've got someone greater than Moses praying for us. God, give them some relief. Forgive them. Work with them. Help them. We have a good God. Our Savior is good. And I can be so thankful just for Him, just for that forgiveness, for bringing me out of my Egypt. It was almost a jail cell. He brought me out. And I am so glad my Savior loves me. We serve a good God. If your life is going to pot around you right now, I hope He's your God, because you have a lot to be thankful for in Him. The second part here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, and I want you to see this, and this is a little bit more practical, a little bit trickier, and maybe you've never thought of it this way. But Moses had just said to them, "The Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, today you're as numerous as the stars of the heaven. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, make you 1,000 times more and bless you more. I can't bear you by myself." Now this is what I want you to remember, and I want you to think about. Whether you're at home, whether you're at work, whether you're here at church, wherever you're at, I want you to put these two together. As God blesses and multiplies us, the problems and the challenges will multiply along with it. You hear that? God has blessed and multiplied you. Now, that's the Abrahamic covenant. I'm going to make you, Abraham, you're 99 years old, you're going to have a baby, and you're going to be like the stars. And this is exactly what it says. It's exactly what's happening. So far, there's 600,000 of them. There's going to be way more. When God blesses us in any way, and He begins to multiply us, there's going to be different challenges. There's going to be different problems. The scenery is going to change. There's just plain going to be change. Now, if that's you, so let's just say that's work. You just got a raise. You just got a promotion. And instead of making $25 an hour, you now make $40 an hour. Instead of working 40 hours a week, you now work 50 hours a week, and you're on salary. And you've got a blessing. I mean, you're making some jack now. But you've also got more hours to work with. What are you going to spend that money on? How are we going to? Wow, that's going to take care of some bills. Yeah. Are we going to buy the new truck, or are we going to just pay off our bills? Baby needs clothes. But I'm working more hours, honey. He blesses you, but you also get a whole new set of challenges with it. And sometimes we get stuck in the challenges. You know what? I wish you were back to just working 8 hours a day, no responsibility, not because, you know what, we were happier back then. Now you're corporate, now you're traveling, now you're doing this, now you're that. Our marriage is going, and you know what? It's all because you were multiplied. God blessed you. God bless you with more kids. Do the challenges become greater the more kids you have? Is that how that works? Instead of one child, now you have five. And is it different? Is it more? Yeah, it is, isn't it? And that's stress. That's pressure. That's money. And so there's this blessing. God is blessing us. God is multiplying. And with that often goes more problems, more challenges, more issues, A change of scenery, a change of life. We're going to move to a bigger house in a newer neighborhood. Man, I hate these neighbors in this rich neighborhood. These people are snot. I don't like them. I wish I was living back in County Road. You know, it multiplies. You get blessed, but you get challenges too with that. That's exactly what happened there. And they got stuck in the challenges and forgot to look at the blessings. They needed to handle it, and so they chose these men, they chose these people, and they gave them the Spirit that could see through this murky water of God's great blessing and could fix the problems, could work on the problems. The spiritual are able to see the growth. They're able to see the multiplication. The immature, the unbelieving, the disobedient, all they can do is grumble and complain about things have changed, their dislikes, their discomforts. Moses makes an interesting statement here. Beginning at verse 13, Deuteronomy chapter 13. Listen as I read Deuteronomy 1:13. This is the solution. And it's insightful. It gives us some real insight into this. Choose for your tribes wise, understanding, and experienced men, and I will appoint them as your heads. And you answered me, the thing you've spoken is good for us to do. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, and I set them as heads over you, commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, commanders of fifties, commanders of ten, and officers throughout your tribes. We set up government. And I charged your judges, we appointed judges, and I charged your judges at that time to hear the cases between your brothers and judge righteously between a man and his brother or the alien who is with him. You shall not be partial in your judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not be intimidated by anyone, for the judgment is God's. And if the case is too hard for you, bring it to me and I'll hear it. And I commanded you at that time all that you should do. So here's the answer. There's so much bickering and complaining and grumbling that we're going to set up a system, a government system, and there's going to be commanders and officers and judges to judge between the suits, the lawsuits, and the fussing and the fighting going on. I'm going to set up judges and they're going to sit before you. And righteousness is that you treat them all equally fairly. Whether it's your brother, whether it's you and this person, it's your fellow church member, or it's you and the alien, someone from without or someone from within or someone within your family. It doesn't matter who they are, small or great, all are alike. Here's the key, because it's God's judgment. This is God's judgment, verse 17. It's not my judgment. It's God's judgment. So here's the answer. You're going to delegate. You got this multiplication going on, but you've got multiple problems, multiple bickering, multiple complaining. Oh, nobody. It's just, you just can't see the blessing, and there's just and so you set up these people, but these men have the Spirit, and they're able to see it with God's eyes and do God's judgment, because your judgment isn't working. Your judgment's complaining. Your judgment's grumbling. Your judgment is, Lord, take me home. These people are wearing me out. You need God's judgment. And God loves the small and the great alike. He's able to see impartially. He's able not to be intimidated by anyone, no matter who they are in the community or how much money they make. He don't care. It's God's judgment. And so when God multiplies us, when God blesses us, it comes with challenges. It comes with changes. And we need wise, Spirit-filled people who can see it with God's eyes to make God's judgment to go, wait a minute, there's God, He's leading us, and this is how He would handle it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that, that it's not just me and my flesh wanting my way, but God gives us the Holy Spirit to lead us through, to see the blessings. So, it's Thanksgiving week. It is the week to be thankful. And here's the question I will ask us and ask you. Has God blessed you? Has God blessed you? Big, small, barely? No. Has He blessed you? Are you blessed? In any way, what has He done? Has He blessed you? Do you have a mountain of blessings or not? Nothing. I can't think of anything, Terry. I can't think of anything. Or is there something? Is it gravelly and dry? And is that shrub bouncing around in the desert? I don't know. It's Thanksgiving week. So let me just say, if your answer is no, He hasn't blessed me, or barely, why? I mean, let's just ask that question. Why? Here's why I ask that question. Because my Bible says that God loves to bless people. That God blesses abundantly those that love and trust Him. God loves to fill the cup up until it's pouring over to those who love and follow Him. So if He's not blessing you, or it's minimal, I don't know how thankful I can be. I'm only going to have a little piece of pie because I'm not really thankful. If I was really thankful, I'd eat half that pie, but I'm not. So I don't know. I'm going to have a little fun, but I'm not going to have a lot of fun. Why? My Bible says He blesses. He blesses the small and the great. He's not mean or hard. He's not tight-fisted. He opens up and He pours out blessings. He opens the windows of heaven. God blesses abundantly those who trust and love Him. God blesses our souls. He says, in your soul, I'll bless you in your soul. I'll water your soul. I'll refresh you in the heart. I'll bless you. I'll take your land in your heart. I'll give you rest in your soul. Ephesians chapter 1 says, I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Everyone. From what I'm reading in my Bible, God loves to bless those who trust Him. So if you can't just rip off a list of blessings, I'm asking why. If you're grumbly and gravelly in a little shrub desert bouncing around on the outskirts of camp, and there's a fire, shrubs and fire go good together. If that's you, why? Well, we got to start. Maybe the Spirit's not in you. Maybe the Spirit's not in you. My Bible, again, I'm just going to go back to here. I don't want you to believe me. My Bible says things like this. Let me just paraphrase this for you. I'll kind of read it, and I'll kind of paraphrase it. It's a great passage of Scripture, by the way. Let me read this. You tell me. The fruit of a spirit-filled person is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, that's trust, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these. Those who belong to Christ have crucified their own flesh with its selfish desires. And if we live, if our soul lives, if my life, my heart live for God by His Spirit, we should also live in the steps of His Spirit, not becoming self-focused and driven, pointing fingers at others or envying others, but we should be thankful and humble before Him, our great God and Savior. Galatians chapter 5. So, my Bible says, if the Spirit is in you, that's what you look like. He gives peace and joy and love and patience and goodness and kindness. And he's just in there growing it. You're not a desert at all. You're like well-watered trees by the stream, and it's just always watering, always feeding in there. And it's not grumbling, dissatisfaction, complaining. Oh, I this, oh, that. It's not that at all. It's the Spirit going, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, rest, rest, peace, be still. I'm with you. I love you. Is the Spirit there? That's if you can't see blessings, if you can't be thankful, I'm just going to ask you, are you sure the Spirit's in there? That's a good question. Because my God loves to bless. And the Holy Spirit He gives leads you to it. If the Spirit's in there, why can't you see the blessings? Are you choosing to look at man and not God? Are you turning your eyes from the blessings you have to the misfortunes and the problems and the grumbling? What are you looking at? Because my God says, there are blessings all over. Our blessings all over. From the inside to the outside to heaven, I am blessing you. I am here and I love you. I'm going to forgive every single thing you do. I will forgive it. I love you like a father, man. I want to hold you in my arms. I want to give you rest and peace. Why are you complaining? You can't see me? I'm just going to ask you why. That's the question, why? I mean, there's nothing about our Bible that says we should be grumblers, complainers. So I hope you see God's blessing. In Galatians 5, take that back, Ephesians. I think it's Ephesians. I don't know. Let me show you a list. This is Galatians chapter 5. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. Nobody here does that, right? There ain't no sexual immorality, adultery, sorcery. Any sorcerers here? No? Okay. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissension, division, envy. That's a work of the flesh. If you are gravelly, complainy, striving all the time, fits of anger, it's not the Spirit. It's not the soul spirit. You're living off the flesh. You're running on the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. It's nothing like that. The Holy Spirit is the difference. The Holy Spirit will be the difference between your thanksgiving, a thankful thanksgiving, and not a thankful thanksgiving. It will be the Holy Spirit that will lead you out and away from the grumbling. It's the Holy Spirit that will multiply your blessings this Thanksgiving. It's the Holy Spirit that will give you eyes to see the Savior, the one who forgives everything and welcomes you with open arms into his life. It's the Holy Spirit. It will get your eyes up off your misfortunes, up off what you're eating, up off that woman that he married, up off and get you onto him who is so much, so much more loving and great. It's the Holy Spirit that will do that. Where is he in your life? Do you have him? He wants to lead you to all we have to be thankful about. I close with this. In our passage of Scripture, God has blessed them as the stars of heaven. They've responded with the strife of hell. And they found themselves stuck in a desert. While God was performing miracles all around them, all they wanted to look at was their misfortunes and the meat and the marriage instead of the multiple stars of heaven. And I ask you, was there any doubt they weren't going to go into the promised land when it came time to say, go conquer that land? Is there any question in your mind they weren't going to look at all the negatives and go, we can't do it? No, 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 no. Is there any doubt in your mind with this track record behind them of looking at every little nuance of misfortune and problem going on in the world? Is there any doubt they weren't going to look at that land and blow up every challenge they had in front of them and they were going to end up in a desert? There's no doubt in my mind. That's the only recourse. It's the only place. They will never enter the promised land. They cannot see God. That's got to be us. We have got to fill up with the Holy Spirit, to have eyes to see, to make this Thanksgiving blow up in our mind, to see all that God is, all that he's done, miracles all around us. And if you're not, why not? Where's the Spirit? He makes the difference of it all. He will make this Thanksgiving a thankful thanksgiving or not. And I want us to move forward into the promised land. You know what? God is not done with this little church. He's just beginning with this little church. If you find grumbling and dissatisfaction now at this early level when he's ready to take us into the promised land, there's no way you're going. I mean, forget it. I'm out. Way too hard, way too different, way too changed. I mean, if the little things bug you now when God really wants to bless you later, it's a given. It's not going to happen. Are you happy now? Are you satisfied where you're at now? In anything. We've got to take you to bigger things at home, in your life, in your marriage. If you can't be satisfied now where you're at, no. Come on. He's blessing us now. He's blessing you now. Don't focus on all the problems. They're always going to be here. This government's always going to be a wreck. This financial thing's always going to be a... There's going to be problems all the time. Look at God. Look at what he's done. Look at the beauty of Jesus Christ. Saves a wretch like me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. You are good. You are good. May your Spirit come alive in us to see how great you are, how great is our God. We are thankful. We are thankful, Lord, and we're ready to move into the promised land. Move us in our families, in our jobs. Lord, may your Spirit guide us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, 4:00 in the morning, I was at work. How many of you were at work 4:00 in the morning? Pray for me. And a young man, 40-ish, come running into my office. Mind you, my brain doesn't work at 4:00 in the morning. Hyped up off of a 2-day meth run. Terry, you need to pray for me. You need to pray for my girlfriend. You need to pray for me. I need this. And talking way faster than I talk on a good day. At 4:00 in the morning, Terry, you need to pray for me. Terry, you need to pray for her. Terry, and all this fantasy kind of thing. And he said, I know God works. I've been to churches before, and I've seen God do things. I've seen God work. Will you pray? Here's her name. Will you pray? And I looked him in the eye, and at 4:00 in the morning, I'm not a happy person. And I looked him in the eye, and I said, look. I said, I don't doubt. I believe you've seen God. But I'm going to tell you right now, seeing God and surrendering to God are two different things. Mm-hmm. Seeing God and being satisfied with God are miles apart. We all see God. I said, you know what? I can go sit in a field and look at the trees and the stars and I can see God, but that don't mean I'm His. You need to give your life to Christ now. Yeah, I do. I do, don't I? Yeah, I do. And I'd like to tell you at that point he did, but he didn't. He said, well, will you pray for her? I want you to have the thanksgiving, but I want to tell you, seeing God is not being satisfied with God. I hope and I pray that you know him so well that the Spirit is in your heart right now just going, God, you are good. He loves you. He loves you. If you're not sure of that and you want to talk to me and you want me to pray with you so the Spirit can come in and give you rest and fill you up with His love and satisfaction, you come and see me. I want more than anything for us to know that here. Lord, thank you for your love. It's bigger than we'll ever know. Your forgiveness is greater than I'll ever know. And we are satisfied in you, as you are good. We pray now for this days ahead, this Thanksgiving that we observe, Lord, that above all people, it is us. We are the thankful ones. People will see our thanksgiving and wonder what it is that we have. Lord, may we be light in this darkness. May we be thankfulness in this complaining, dissatisfied world that we live in. I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have a great holiday.